Hello, hey, hey, bonjour. I'm Gwen Lafarge, and this is the Tech Marketing Pod Chat, casual discussion with some of the best, most passionate tech marketers out there. They share their stories, their insights, their day-to-day. So get ready to listen, learn, and get inspired. Welcome to a new episode of the Tech Marketing Pod Chat. My guest today, Sylvia Linden, is CMO at Tink. She joined Tink when they had just pivoted from being a Swedish B2B finance management app to being an open banking platform, selling to banks and fintechs all across Europe. I had a great discussion with Sylvia on the journey she went on and how she started to gain traction across Europe. What are the first things she did when she joined the team? We talked about scaling up her marketing team and what that looked like, what her team looked like today. We also discussed marketing as the revenue driver and if it's important to gate or not gate your content. That is the question. So I hope you enjoyed this discussion that I had with Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia, nice to meet you and welcome to the Tech Marketing Pod Chat.
Hi, nice to be here.
Very excited to have you here. So let's jump right in. So you are the CMO at Tink and you joined them right when they were pivoting from being like a B2B company to becoming, a B2C company from becoming B2B and becoming this open banking platform for banks.
Yeah.
What was that journey like? Because it was a pretty big change for the whole company, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a crazy journey. So I started at Tink in the fall of 2018, and it was just that summer that Tink had decided to pivot to become this platform for others to tap into, rather than being the personal finance management app that they had been for quite a few years. So I was hired in to deal with the marketing side of things, and this was at a time when everything was basically set up to be focused on the app, and there were no basic marketing capabilities at all. So we were, I think, moving very broadly in all the teams. Like, sales had the same issues, product management had the same issues. So we were all basically just new joiners, I think, trying to build our teams, building out the capabilities to truly become this B2B focused platform, covering not only Sweden as a geography, but also all of Europe. So it was for sure an interesting time.
Yeah,
so and still is.
The first thing that you did, I guess the focus from before maybe was Tink had this brand. I think I remember there was definitely some knowledge of the Tink brand, at least in Sweden, but maybe it was more a consumer brand in some ways. And so, yeah. What was the first thing that you did, and like the first action you took?
I went straight into recruitment for sure. I knew that this was going to be a team that required more than just a few people. So I think my first question, even during my interview time, was basically like, so who does demand generation for Tink? And nobody kind of really knew what that was all about, because you don't work with it the same way in a B2C type context. But like, on a very concrete basis, it meant that I had to build a team from scratch, basically, to get all of the capabilities in, to be able to do B2B marketing in a good way. It also meant that we had to be working a lot with getting the brand awareness out. We were known as a Swedish app in Sweden,
yeah.
But we weren't known at all as a brand in Europe. So all of that brand awareness work, positioning us in the way we want to be perceived across a pretty big geography, was a big part of my work, as well as getting the demand generation capabilities up as well to be able to be that partner to the sales organization to make sure we get the brand out, we open up the relevant doors and make their lives easier by providing them with leads.
Yeah.
So that was very much on top of my agenda in the early days. And to some extent that it still is. It's just in a different kind of way. Like we've scaled now, we've become more mature, but it's still around those same things, making sure that the brand is out, perceived in a good way by the people we want to talk to, and that we continuously feed the sales organization with good leads, high quality incoming requests because of the brand we've built, and make their lives easier to make sure we support our growth across the region where we want to operate.
So what was the first recruitment in a way, and like what are the first tactics did you go for, like a content-based strategy, or like how did you get the brand out as well?
I mean, fortunately, I had some people that had joined before me. So maybe my priorities in getting people onto the team were sort of set by that. I had a product marketing director who was already hired. He came in maybe 2 months before I came in. That was obviously something that was super, super necessary to have, because Tink is very close to, like, the brand and the product, they are so closely linked. So whatever stories we tell are very much focused on what the product can do and the opportunities of open banking and how that sort of is taken out through the product. I also had a super, super strong communicator that was able to translate the industry movement as well as the product stories into like really, really compelling stories, so we could be active on social media, on our blog, etc., and getting stuff out. And there was also an event manager who was out getting Tink visible on stages across Europe for brand visibility and so on. So my first recruitment, given that I already had these people sort of closely tied to the team, was a demand generation lead for acquisition, getting the basics in place in terms of, you know, systems and processes. How do you, I mean, you can't do demand generation based off an Excel spreadsheet. You need the tech stack, and you need those capabilities to be able to understand if the money you're putting behind things are actually providing you with the leads you want and so on. So that was very much my first like recruitment and getting that up and running, while making sure that, you know, the communicator, the product marketing director, the acquisition lead and the event person, that we all sort of put our own activities into one plan that aimed at getting the brand awareness out there for Tink in general, and that we were all aligning, mm-hmm. not only internally within the marketing team, but also with the sales and the product organization, so that we knew what product to sell at what time, in what market, and how do we package that? How do we message it? How do we get it out? What's the distribution like?
And what has been like the channel or tactic, if you can tell, of what has been working for you at Tink? Like, you have a pretty specific target audience, right? It's like large banks across Europe. So in a way, it's not like a huge audience. It's like, it's pretty specific. So you need to be in front of them. What are like that work? Is it like analyst relations, content? Like how do you
work? Yeah, so I mean, I guess that depends a little bit on where you are maturity wise. So yes, our target universe isn't indefinite. Like it's not super, super big. So we work towards big banks, niche banks, payment providers, lenders, fintechs, but we could work with basically anybody who could use financial data to build good customer experiences. So mm-hmm. depends on where you focus. But I mean, in the early days, our tactics were very much about, you know, getting known. And we had, so events was a big part of the strategy, pitching ourselves onto a ton of different stages across Europe. Having our CEO on stage, he's a great speaker and can talk about the opportunities of open banking in a very compelling, down-to-earth, kind of understandable way. Addressing the potential that is out there and just waking people up a little bit. I mean, he's been involved in this movement since the very early days when they were going back and forth to Brussels, lobbying for the PSD2 regulation and truly wanting this this innovation to take off in the financial services industry. So events, speaking a lot, and just getting the brand out. But then also the content marketing side of things, I think, was a key part of our tactic. Being very generous with what we know and what we think about different things, packaging it in a way that makes it sound interesting, inspiring, branding it like us, and then using it as both a brand awareness type of tool, positioning us as thought leaders within the space because we're knowledgeable about what's going on in this industry, and also making things understandable for the prospects out there. And then, you know, content obviously being used in digital marketing efforts as well, not just being packaged nicely as a brochure that we give out on events, but something that we could leverage for our digital marketing purposes as well. So those two, I would say, were like key tactics that we used in the early days. We did our own research to come to the market with unique insights about what was going on in the industry. So we did this pretty thick survey report that we named Inside the Minds of Europe's Bankers, where we asked 300 bankers how they felt about this, what they were investing in, the attitude towards things. And then we packaged these findings in a really, really nice way. And those insights were unique to us. Nobody else had them. And I think that's truly set us up for this thought leadership position, where we see that we were asked by the media, by the analysts, by consultants, by our own customers, for that matter, on like, how do you advise us going forward with these things? So we're kind of becoming a speaking partner for a lot of different kind of things.
Definitely coming up with like new insight and quality content instead of just repurposing what everybody else is doing. I think it's an interesting approach. I mean, those big reports are the what's in the mind of the bankers or the state of of the market in a way. I think it's a good approach for sure. Nice. Well, and so you mentioned that you've really scaled up your marketing team since those early days when you were maybe four or five people, right? So can you tell us a little bit more about how your team is structured today and like how
I mean, I'm super proud of this team. I'm very proud of what we do together, and I've been fortunate to have been part of a lot of recruitment processes throughout these 2.5 years at Tink. We're now, I think, 23 marketeers at Tink, spread out across Europe. And the approach I took was basically, so I kind of felt that Tink was going to be successful and we were going to have a lot of marketeers. So I did not really go for the let's hire some generalist that can do a bit of everything. So I took that bet and started hiring pretty specialized people quite early, and built a team that's pretty it's structured in a pretty classical way. So I have the PR and comms side of things, where I also have research, the report I mentioned, getting the unique insights and packaging that in a way that supports our brand and our customers and our commercial organization in general. I have the product marketing team, which is pretty much, I think, the biggest team that we have, because a lot of what we do is centered around the product. I have the demand generation team that owns anything from like paid advertising to the website and inbound marketing and things like that. I have also an in-house creative team, a production arm that basically produces all of the content, all of the visuals, the brand designers. And then I have some regional marketing managers that are key in getting Tink's messages out into some of our most important regions across Europe, you know, where language sometimes is a game changer. And I've always had this approach to being like one brand that's communicated in a consistent way, but it needs to be relevant on a local basis. And the best way of going about doing that is also making sure you have somebody who understands that market and can adapt the messages it's absolutely not about translation. It's about like complete localization of messages, timing, how do you approach different customers in different regions, and so on. So that's pretty much my team. And I think that, I mean, scaling it has been a wild ride in so many ways. It's been fun to be able to sort of handpick all of these people and see how they start kind of just like, you start early and then 2 months later, you're pretty much like indispensable in a way because people are just so good at what they do, whether they are working with as product marketing managers in the product teams or if they are, you know, putting money behind advertisements and getting our campaigns out and so on. So I think it's been great, but it's also been a bit difficult in scaling it so quickly.
Okay, so yeah, so you did a pretty fantastic job in trying to scale this team with like a desire to become this big European player, but also have like a presence locally, right? So you have like those the local marketers, and are those two combined helping you gain traction around, across Europe? How does the local team works with the kind of more central teams? How is the responsibility split? Are the people locally more demand gen people or like events, or what is their role?
Yeah, so I mean, if I had had a strategy to sort of hire specialists for my central team, the regional marketing managers are more generalist. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much responsible for everything marketing related out in their region. So they're the brand ambassadors. They make sure we put out communications that is on brand. They also take responsibility for transcreating content or creating their own content that is relevant to their particular market. And they run the events. To some extent, they're also involved in you know the PR activity. We have some good collaborations with the local PR agencies in some key markets, and a huge part I think of building your brand is the relationship you have with the media and how relevant you are when it comes to addressing the topics that are like hot in that particular region. So our marketing managers truly play a key role in making sure that Tink as a brand and our messaging comes out in a way that is on brand, but like very, very relevant to their particular market. Right. So I'd say they're more generalist profile than specialist, but that's like the one exception to the rule.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you mentioned before that that you believe in marketing as being like a generation of revenue, right, for the organization, and not just like I guess the PR and the brand side of things is maybe a little not as close maybe to the revenue generation, but I think that's been one of your key focus, right? How to use marketing to generate revenue. Is more tied in, I guess, to the demand gen, or what are the key kind of activities and actions you're doing to kind of get there?
Yeah, I mean, for me, absolutely, marketing is a revenue generating part of an organization. I feel like we are there to support the sales teams in getting the job done, and I don't think either one of these teams or no team can survive without the other. I've been fortunate enough to work with like CEOs in not only in this company but also in previous companies that have truly seen the value of marketing and believe that marketing can truly move the needle on so many different ways. So I think absolutely it has a super big impact on revenue. So for us, for instance, I feel like with our pretty limited target universe, we can approach our customers using the account-based marketing approach in a pretty mm-hmm. successful way. And as much as I sort of dislike the word ABM in a way, because it's so much more than account-based marketing, it's an approach that involves so many other things than just marketing. I mean, one of the tactics that go into that is obviously targeted advertising, but that is just one part of it all. If that's what you think ABM is, you're not going to see the full potential of it. So it needs to span across basically all of the customer touch points in anything from how you put the brand out to the ads and the messages on the ads to the outreach that is potentially done by a junior sales development representative or somebody who's like senior to a senior account manager that drives the conversation forward over several months. Like, how do we treat this customer? That all of that goes into ABM. And then how you sort of track marketing's impact on how big that opportunity with a particular customer is, and how quickly you can push it through the funnel in a way to truly sort of understand the marketing impact on the opportunity value and the number of won deals and the value of those deals. Yeah. So the tactic for us is pretty centered, I would say, around the account-based marketing approach and trying to align all of sales and marketing on this approach and how we work and how we measure it. And then to me, I think it's a pretty much like a crawl then walk type activity where you get this alignment, and then when everybody sort of knows this is how we work this, you can exponentially increase in creativity, how you run your campaigns, and try and scale that. We're not there yet. We're crawling still, I would say. Yeah. But it's at least I see a potential here for sure.
Yeah, because I would imagine that because you have in a way kind of a niche market, it's not really the amount of companies that make the scale, it's the amount of people you need to reach inside each company, right? Those are probably pretty big deal. So you need to have probably a lot of stakeholders in each company to be involved in the deal and need to be in front of all those different personas, right? So when it comes to like ABM and like do you do very targeted content, or like how do you approach it? Like I guess you're working very closely with your sales team, and then do you kind of really produce specific content for those key accounts, or what's your strategy?
Yeah, so I think we have different tiers. So we have some customers that we truly produce like unique content for, and there's like unique sections of that content that is truly targeted towards particular accounts that we only send to them. And then there's the midway that is sort of like tailored and pretty differentiated messaging. And then there's like the broad communication. So you can't afford, I mean, we're still a scale up. It's not like our resources are infinite in any way. Like, we need to act smartly with the money that we have and the people we have and so on. From a marketing perspective, I think we are absolutely able to cover a bigger scope. But if you're going to do account-based marketing properly, you also need to have the bandwidth within the sales team to do the proper outreach and the follow-ups on everything that you see, like customer engagement on. And otherwise, it's kind of like, why are you doing it unless you're following up where you see people responding to your content? But I think that trying this very targeted approach with a select amount of accounts is really interesting, and seeing how well that sort of translates into relationships you are building with that particular customer, and eventually how it sort of plays into won deals, as opposed to having a list of hundreds of companies that are on your wish list, because it's impossible for a company our size to work on all of those accounts. Like, we just don't have that bandwidth. So we decide to sort of get close to a customer to truly understand their pain points, and then work from there, addressing what kind of piece of the puzzle is Tink in their journey to higher customer engagement, or better conversion rates, success rates, and so on, or whatever success looks like for them.
Right.
So yeah.
And when it comes to content, both from like an ABM perspective, but also more and more of a demand gen perspective, do you usually there's a lot of discussion and debate on gating your content versus like opening your content to get more visibility for it. How do you approach this? Like, do you gate a lot of your content? Do you open it up so that there's more visibility and more views to it, or what's your thought
about that? That's a really interesting. I mean, back in the days, it was all about gating the content, because it all of a sudden people paid with their name and email address, and you could speak to them in a way. I feel like we're truly moving away from that. People don't want to be giving away something, and at that same time, you know, you're going to have like 25 emails in your LinkedIn or inbox or wherever, like, thanks for downloading, and then you will have like these these salesy type outreaches following that. So it just makes it hard for people to do that. I would say that we with a very sort of tailored approach and a targeted approach to reaching an audience, I think you're better off if you just present like really high quality content that is not overly marketed or overly salesy, but generous in terms of your findings or your insights or your stories around this, and trusting the process that if you have a good product and if you're good at conveying the messages in a good way, people will come to you. So the answer to your question, I guess, is like, yes, Tink has absolutely had gated content, and we potentially still do, but we're moving away from that and just presenting it in a way that feels more generous, and we right. will be able to engage with our prospects anyways.
Yeah. I mean, it's I think that's probably that's what I'm seeing as well in the approach, and like getting people to come. But at the same time, there is still this pressure on the marketing team to deliver leads all the time. I guess when you just get content, the quality of the leads you get might not be there, right? Like when
exactly.
And people come by themselves, the quality will be, at least you know, it's people that are truly interested in what you do, not just anyone.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I think this approach is better, because we don't want to flood our sales organization with leads that they should not be spending their time on. We know, probably have already within our network of like salespeople, marketing people, executives, and so on, we know a lot of people in this industry already. We've managed to grow our follower base quite extensively. So the content that we're putting out there is reaching people anyways. And so I don't feel like we have a demand on our marketing team to deliver a lot of leads, but I feel like we have a demand that is closer related to the quality of those leads that we have, and how quickly or how we can support the sort of the transition between the different stages of the funnel. How can we get people interested in Tink and knowledgeable about what it is that we can do? And how do we make sure that they say yes to meetings and that they like us and they want to work with us, all the way down to do we have a contract signed? Our processes, our sales cycles are quite long. So it's we're still learning on that and improving on that. But I think it's a very sound measure that we don't necessarily track the number of leads anymore, because it's not necessarily relevant if you know your target audience.
Yeah, exactly. It's more about the revenue than the leads, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have just a very, very few people engaging with your contact, but they're spot on right, like I would rather have that than spend time on 200 follow-ups for leads that are not at all relevant for your organization. It's like driving on gear one or two on the highway, like you're burning your organization completely, but you're not getting anywhere. So, yeah.
Perfect. That's a perfect last sentence, I think. So, thank you so much. This was a really interesting discussion. Thanks for your time, and we'll for sure stay in touch and talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Favorite topic. I can't believe we were already out of time. Feels
I
like
know.
We have so much stuff to talk about still.
I know, I have so many more questions, but next time.
Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you.
Gwen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tech Marketing Spot Chat. I hope you had a good time. I know I did. If you learned a thing or two, feel free to share this episode and also let me know. I'm on LinkedIn. Please connect, share your thoughts, and I'll see you there. Bye-bye for now.